Developer Tools segment today has some genuinely impressive entries. Let me start with Futo Swipe, which has the highest score of any story today at 570 points and 193 comments, because it's both technically interesting and philosophically interesting, given who built it. Futo is a nonprofit organization founded by Gabe Newell's son, Blakely Newell, along with others, with an explicit mission to develop software that doesn't surveil users or extract attention. They've released a swipe typing model, meaning the predictive keyboard technology where you drag your finger across letters rather than tapping them. And from the comments, it sounds like it's legitimately competitive with or better than Google's Gboard and SwiftKey.
The technical challenge here is substantial. Swipe typing requires a model that can decode continuous finger trajectories into words in real time, accounting for the enormous variability in how different people trace the same word, the elastic deformation of finger paths on different screen sizes, and the disambiguation of words with similar gesture shapes. The existing dominant approaches use large statistical language models combined with gesture recognition, and they've had years of training data from hundreds of millions of users. For Futo to come out of nowhere with a competitive model is a real engineering achievement.
What's drawing the most discussion is the privacy angle. Both Gboard and SwiftKey have historically sent keystroke data to their parent companies, Google and Microsoft respectively, to improve their models. The justification is that this data makes the product better, which is true. Futo's approach is on-device only, which means your keystrokes don't leave your phone, which means they can't improve the model from your usage patterns. The bet they're making is that a model trained on a carefully curated public dataset can match the performance of models trained on live telemetry from a billion users.
Several commenters are making the point that this is an existence proof that privacy-preserving design doesn't have to mean worse products. That's a meaningful data point for the broader debate about whether privacy and functionality are fundamentally in tension. The Android ecosystem makes this kind of third-party keyboard possible in a way that iOS makes much more difficult, which is its own interesting policy dimension.
The Tix Editor is a different kind of developer tool story, more niche, but extremely enthusiastically received. Tix is the dominant tool for creating vector graphics in LaTeX documents, which means it's used by essentially every mathematician and physicist who publishes papers. The traditional workflow involves writing code that describes shapes and positions. It's like SVG, but with its own syntax, and then compiling the LaTeX document to see what it looks like. The new WYSIWYG editor at tix.dev lets you draw visually and see the generated Tix code, 401 points and 73 comments, which is remarkable for a tool with a user base this specific.
The academic publishing community is underserved by software tooling in ways that are genuinely painful. The fact that researchers still use a workflow that involves writing code to produce images, then compiling, then checking the output, then adjusting coordinates manually, all of this is a real productivity drain on people whose primary value is generating knowledge, not fighting with graphics software. A WYSIWYG layer on top of Tix is the right kind of incremental improvement that doesn't require researchers to change their fundamental workflow.
Now, Curriculum Corner on antitrust, which actually connects to the Bunny DNS story. Bunny.net announced today that they're making their DNS service free, fully free, no usage limits, as a kind of infrastructure gift to the internet. The reasoning they give is that fast DNS is a core piece of internet infrastructure and shouldn't be a competitive moat for large cloud providers. Which raises the question, why can big cloud providers offer DNS free as a loss leader? Because they can cross-subsidize from compute, storage, and networking revenue. That's a form of market power that's worth understanding through an antitrust lens.
Walk us through that, Marcus, because the antitrust framework here is often misunderstood.
Antitrust law in the U.S. traces primarily to the Sherman Act of 1890, which prohibits contracts or combinations in restraint of trade and conduct that amounts to monopolization. The critical thing people get wrong is that having a monopoly isn't illegal. What's illegal is acquiring or maintaining a monopoly through anti-competitive conduct. So when we talk about whether AWS or Google Cloud using free DNS to lock developers into their ecosystems constitutes an antitrust problem, we're not asking whether they're large. They obviously are. We're asking whether the specific conduct of bundling free DNS with other services has the effect of foreclosing competition in some market. Courts look at market definition first, what's the relevant market, and then at whether the conduct actually harms competition in that market, not just individual competitors. A court generally isn't going to intervene simply because AWS is bigger than Bunny. Bunny going free is a legitimate competitive response. Meet the price of zero with a price of zero.
The Rhombus Language 1.0 story is also worth a few minutes here. Rhombus is a new surface syntax for racket, which itself is a descendant of Scheme, which is a Lisp dialect. If that sounds like a lineage of languages used primarily by academics, it's because it mostly is. But racket has had an outsized influence on programming language design. Rhombus 1.0 represents several years of work to give racket a more conventional-looking syntax that's less intimidating to programmers coming from mainstream languages, while preserving all the macro and metaprogramming power that makes racket unique. The community response is cautiously positive, 183 points, 53 comments, with the main debate being whether new syntax can actually expand racket's user base, or whether the barrier to racket adoption was never really the parentheses.